corrupt U.S. government is bankrupting the economy and igniting a third world war while flooding the border with single military-aged men. The media continues to divide us along party lines with another rigged election, while Hollywood tries to goad the people into a second civil war. And while this is all happening, humanity is being slow-killed with technologies that only serve to isolate and track us. 9 years ago, hundreds of scientists were warning us of the dangers of cell phones and 5G radiation.
I'm Dr. Martin Blank from the Department of Physiology and Cellular Biophysics at Columbia University. We are scientists and engineers, and I'm here to tell you we have created something that is harming us, and it is getting out of control. The incidence of fatal brain cancer in younger people has more than tripled. We are putting cellular antennas on residential buildings and on top of hospitals where people are trying to get well. It's particularly frightening that radiation from our telecommunication and power line technology is damaging the DNA in our cells. The time to deal with the harmful biological and health effects is long overdue. We are really all part of a large biological experiment without our informed consent.
And things have only gotten worse. Millions have been murdered with a mandated mystery injection, which has debilitated even more and infected the living with nanotechnologies that are linking us with machines. An artificial intelligence grid is being built around us, and the people have never been more divided. And if we fail to unite, the future of humanity is destined to be grim. In Ronald Reagan's famous 1987 speech, he referred to an alien threat that could unite humanity.
I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. And yet, I ask you, is not an alien force already among us?
And regardless of what he was referring to 37 years ago, that alien threat is here today. It is the anti-human artificial intelligence that humanity is giving birth to.
Sentient artificial intelligence is far beyond human beings. You give it 1,000 years alone to make better and better versions of itself. Where does that go? That goes to a god. It literally can create universes.
But what kind of god? So, like, I think of it this way. So the first stage of the Industrial Revolution consisted of people building machines that were stronger than the human body.
Right.
Right? So the steam-powered loom.
Sure.
The backhoe.
Combustion engine.
They replace muscles.
Right.
Right. So that's what the machine does. It becomes stronger than the human body. The second stage, which we're in the middle of, consists of creating machines that are more powerful than the human mind. That's what computing is. And I would say AI or supercomputing is just that exponentially. But that doesn't make it a god, in the sense that the machine, however powerful it is, any more than a backhoe is a god, mm-hmm. because it can dig a trench faster than 100 men, it is still something that people created. So the story hasn't really changed. At the center of the story are people, and their creative power may lead to unintended consequences, but the machines that they build did not make the universe and did not make people. People made the machines.
Right.
So I would say the part I agree with is there's a spiritual component here for sure. People will worship AI as a god. AI, Ted Kaczynski was likely right, will get away from us. We will be controlled by the thing that we made. All those are bad. Like, that's just bad, and we need to say unequivocally, it's bad. It's bad to be controlled by machines.
Right.
Machines are helpmates. Like, we created them to help us, to make our lives better, not to take orders from them. So I don't know why we're not having any of these conversations right now. We're just acting as if this is like some kind of virus, like COVID, that just spreads across the world inexorably. There's nothing we can do about it. Just wait to get it. It's like, no. If we agree that the outcome is bad, which, and specifically, it's bad for people.
All right, folks, that's the latest Greg Reese report, cut up of Tucker Carlson on Joe Rogan. I think they have it backwards, though. I think the relationship between humans and AI, well, in that case, humans are God and AI is our creation that is now out to destroy us. We're in the position of gods now, being replaced by our creation. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the American Journal. I am your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Wednesday morning. Hope everybody's doing well. It's been a nice 21 hours for me. I've spent the last 21 hours not thinking about Flat Earth, and what a relief. What a relief that is. It really is astonishing the amount of attention our little conversation got yesterday. Still goes on. Just whole ecosystem. There's this weird, just under the surface, entire, it's like when you get into something like wrestling or like superheroes and you think, oh yeah, I know about that. It's like, yeah, you got the heels and the baby faces and yeah, I sort of get it. But then you get into it and you're like, oh man, there's like factions, there's like different alliances, people betray each other. It's like this whole underground combat sport of debates about Flat Earth. It's very interesting. It's very funny. Looking at the tweets and comments about the debate yesterday, my only conclusion, the only thing I can try to understand it by is that everybody watching the debate was in reality watching their own version of the debate that had little to nothing to do with the debates that other people watched. It's really something else. It's amazing scrolling through a Twitter feed and just seeing completely different takes one after the other, like in complete contradiction to one another. Which are like, Harrison was super rude. Next one's like, Harrison was an absolute gentleman. Harrison made no points. Harrison made great points. And it's like, all right, so I guess it's just whatever you watched is the truth. There is no reality. It's just everybody has their own interpretation, entirely separate and seemingly unrelated to everybody else's perception of what happened. Sort of appropriate, I guess. For the topic being discussed. But thank you to everybody who helped make it a success and is still talking about it this morning. We are going to no longer talk about Flat Earth ever again. Let's get into it. Here it is, your Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Wednesday, the 24th of April, 2024. New Delhi chokes as trash mountain fire spreads hazardous fumes. We actually have a video of this. Clip number 10 we can roll as B-roll. India's capital choked on toxic fumes Tuesday as thick and pungent haze spread from a fire at a towering trash dump, the latest in a series of landfill blazes that authorities have struggled for years to bring under control. And just look at the scale of this fire, folks. The trash is burning with no end in sight. Sections of the Ghazipur landfill in New Delhi burst into flames on Sunday, causing dangerous heat and methane emissions and adding to India's growing climate challenges. By Tuesday, the blaze at the capital's largest landfill had largely been put out, but people living nearby complained of throat and eye irritation due to lingering acrid air, according to local media reports. And for our television viewers, you could tell, I mean, this was just an absolutely enormous fire. You know, likely putting off enough greenhouse gases, doing enough damage to the environment to offset generations of electric car use. Not that that does anything to help the environment anyway. But it's like, you know, how about instead of telling people not to have kids and making us all eat bugs and forcing us to not own anything, why don't we do something to prevent the just massive outpouring of trash and fire and pollutants and plastics from the east? What about doing something that actually combats the incredibly damaging things being done to our planet by the people who we pay to do so, by the way? By the way, I wonder how much of this trash is literally trash shipped from America to India. You know we do that, right? You know we collect trash. Like if you recycle something, there's a pretty big chance it gets put on a barge, shipped across the Pacific Ocean, and burned in Indonesia. Out of sight, out of mind, right? Ridiculous. Meanwhile, BlackRock triples spending on security for CEO Larry Fink due to ESG backlash. Okay. BlackRock increased spending on private security for CEO Larry Fink more than threefold last year after he came under withering criticism for the asset manager's commitment to investing in companies that promote controversial ESG strategies. There's like a lot of stories like this where it's like Larry Fink is not in any danger. I mean, you can prove me wrong, but everybody I know that's against ESG and BlackRock, we just want it divested from. We just don't want like our pension funds going into BlackRock's ESG score. We just want it to stop. We want it to legally be prevented. I think everybody gets now at this point that the globalist New World Order structure is like a corporation. Nobody cares about like killing Larry Fink because there's another Larry Fink right behind him to step into his place and keep doing what he's doing. And then say, the danger I face for doing this good work, these evil Nazis that are trying to hurt me, now I better get extra security and, you know, maybe get some taxpayer-funded security guards, some private police to, you know, watch everything I do while maintaining my absolute privacy. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff like this where it's like nobody's trying to hurt you. You are destroying the lives of millions of people. You are systematically destroying the capitalistic system that we all rely on as you buy up all the houses and forces into some form of neo-slavery under this bizarre feudalism that you're erecting. So, you know, there's that. But yeah, they're all drama queens. All these people are drama queens. It's like Texas, divest from ESG. Yeah. Texas, divest from BlackRock ESG fund. And they're just like, oh my God, they're trying to kill us. Protesters protest Israel's destruction of Gaza. Oh my God, it's another Holocaust. It's like, okay, let's calm down. Can we calm down, please? Nobody's trying to kill you. We want you to stop trying to kill us. That's all, and we're being very polite about it, actually. Meanwhile, New York City man convicted over gunsmithing hobby after judge says Second Amendment doesn't exist in this courtroom. Doesn't exist in this courtroom. Sort of hard to understand, considering that the courtroom is, in fact, in America. But this is the ultimate culmination of the communist long march through the institutions. They have systematically put in their operatives in place, judgeships, CEOs of companies, heads of NGOs, politicians on important committees. All of these positions are occupied by people who see no like obligation in their position. They are not taking an oath to uphold a structure bigger and more important than themselves. They're the most important things. They're in charge. They have the robe, so they get to decide what's right and what's wrong. And they hate everything America stands for, and they're undoing it right now as we speak. A Brooklyn man has been convicted of 13 weapons charges after having been arrested and charged in 2022 for building his own firearms. Dexter Taylor's ordeal could become a landmark Second Amendment case in light of the Bruin ruling handed down in the same year. The jury found Taylor guilty of second-degree criminal possession of a loaded weapon, 4 counts of third-degree criminal possession of a weapon, 5 counts of criminal possession of a firearm, second-degree criminal possession of 5 or more firearms, unlawful possession of pistol ammunition, violation of a certificate of registration prohibited. Taylor, a 52-year-old New York native and software engineer, discovered the world of gunsmithing years ago. He decided to take it up as a hobby and possibly turn it into a business later. However, when a joint ATF-NYPD task force discovered he was legally buying parts from various companies, they opened up an investigation that led to a SWAT raid and arrest. He's currently being jailed on Rikers Island as he awaits sentencing. Taylor's conviction highlights the ongoing battle for gun rights. During an interview with Vino Vargas, Taylor's defense lawyer, he detailed how Taylor's trial proceeded and highlighted a distinct bias in favor of the prosecution. And you know, we can return to this story here after the Daily Dispatch. But you get it all with the headline. A judge saying the Second Amendment doesn't exist in this courtroom. I mean, it's the law of the land. So what does that mean? I mean, just think about what that means fundamentally. that the law of the land, you know, the second oldest law in the entire land, you could make a case for, not just some, like, just think about it, you know, primally, just fundamentally what's happening here. It's just a judge saying the law doesn't exist in my courtroom. The law, the whole process that we have for passing laws and creating laws and establishing the rule of law, that doesn't exist in her courtroom. I assume it's a woman. I assume it's a black woman. Am I wrong? It's a very convenient trick that the leftists have figured out. If you put a black woman in a position of power, you can get her to do anything. Doesn't matter. You know, the laws, that's no impediment. Just justice, what is right, you know, due process. It doesn't matter. As long as you get a black woman in that position of power, she can and will do whatever she wants. It's just a trend I'm seeing. Just Fannie Willis and Letitia James. Can we find out? Can we find out if my supposition is correct? If my guess is accurate? If it's not, I'll apologize. Judge Darke. Oh, no. Judge Darke, really? D-A-K-E-H? D-A-R-K-E-H? Darke. Judge Darke. I mean, I can't be right. Right? I mean, I can't be right about this. I can't be that accurate. Judge Abina Darke. No. Oh, no. It's a black woman. It's a black woman judge. How did I know? Am I? I mean, it's... Dang it. At times I'd love to be wrong about this type of stuff. This is just the modern strategy, I guess. I mean, literally, you put an incompetent black woman in a position of power. Suddenly the Constitution doesn't exist anymore. Really is incredible. Now, comments like that, the Second Amendment doesn't exist in this courtroom, a.k.a. the law passed by the legislators doesn't exist in my courtroom, a.k.a. there is no law, a.k.a. I am supreme lord of justice and what I say is the law. I mean, it was bad enough when kings and queens acted this way. Now we've got kings and queens acting this way. Now we got judges, just petty little traffic court, you know, school hallway patrol. They are now the law of the land. You get how ridiculous this is? It's bad enough when you've got a supreme sovereign who decides that their word is law and that no, you know, law can hold their whim, their particular desire at that moment. But at least they're king. At least it's like, well, the dude's a king. It kind of is, you know, what he says kind of is law. Now it's just whoever this freaking judge is, her weird, you know, ideology is now the law of the land in her courtroom, apparently. No bail plan making it easier for accused felons to hit the streets. Yeah, so, okay. Yeah, law doesn't matter. That was when? 2000, what is that, 16, 15? 15. In 2015. Yeah, it's been going on for a while. So, hey, you make guns in your spare time, hurt nobody, give the guns to nobody, right? In New York City, just a city just awash in crime at this point. And you'll be sent to Rikers for God knows how long. Wonder how long this guy's facing. Years in prison, I would guess. But, hey, if you actually, you know, shove a pregnant woman down the subway steps or whatever. If you throw an old man in front of a subway train, you'll be out the next day. It's not law and order. It's certainly not order. It's not law anymore. It's just whatever. It's just whatever they want. Completely insane. He added, so the in this interview with the lawyer, he says about the judge, she basically said you must vote guilty without saying you must vote guilty. He characterized Judge Darke as the most aggressive prosecutor in the room. The lawyer described what happened after the verdict was read. When the verdict was read, his mom started crying in the back, and he said to me, "Vino, please comfort my mother." Good Lord. Again, it's just, you know, New York City. I mean, how many stories have we seen recently? And there's one every day, and they go viral because the newspaper just has to come up with clever ways of not saying that the perpetrator was a black person. The latest, I think, was misogynist maniac. That's the latest. So every time, like every time a white person commits a crime, it's like white man caught on video committing crime. And then every time a black guy commits a crime, it's like dastardly businessman stabs woman in head. misogynist maniac. They always come up with some clever way of describing the person to hide who's really doing it. So you've just got like headline after headline, day after day of people just brutally victimizing innocent people who happen to fall in their path, get arrested 9 or 10 times a year for their whole lives and just get let out again to victimize more people, to shatter more people's lives. Yeah, there it is. Misogynistic maniac who punched several women, charged with a string of random NYC assaults over the past month. See, women are an approved victim group. Yeah. That's just, it's just, honestly, it's just horrifying. It is actually like a horror movie. I was thinking about what some of my biggest fears are. Probably shouldn't say this. Probably enough people hate me that I shouldn't be like, here's my biggest fears, but whatever. but honestly, you know, thinking about it, one of them would have to be like getting falsely accused for a crime. There's really not a lot more terrifying than the idea of being a victim of not just like a person. Like being a victim of a murderer is scary, but that's just like a dude with a knife. That you can sort of comprehend, you can sort of understand. But when you're the victim of a massive system, when like your victimizers are actually just like dozens of normal people just doing their job, it's really terrifying. It really is. And so, you know, when you talk about victimization in the world today, it's like you've got the normal classic victimizers who are just let out on the street as criminals to punch pregnant women and kick babies and throw dogs onto train tracks or whatever other novel crime they come up with daily in places like New York City. And then there's the much, in my opinion, more dangerous victimization, which is judges who decide that the rule of law doesn't exist in their courtroom, and when given the absolute power of life and death over another human being, decides to destroy their lives and the lives of their families because they bought gun parts from different websites, because their hobby as a software engineer is building guns. That dude never hurt anybody. That dude never shot anybody. That dude never kicked anybody down the stairs. But he'll be treated a lot worse than people who do. Talk about the death of democracy. Talk about the death of anything remotely resembling a fair and open and law-abiding system. It's gone, folks. Oh, look, more unimaginable horrors from beyond the ken of human understanding. Mass graves in Gaza show victims' hands were tied, says UN Rights Office. Disturbing reports continue to emerge about mass graves in Gaza, in which Palestinian victims were reportedly found stripped naked with their hands tied, prompting renewed concerns about possible war crimes amid ongoing Israeli airstrikes, the UN Human Rights Office, OHCHR, said on Tuesday. Amid ongoing Israeli airstrikes. Yes, we interrupt the ongoing human rights violation to tell you about a much more brutal and horrific human rights violation taking place. The development follows the recovery of hundreds of bodies buried deep in the ground and covered with waste over the weekend at Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis, central Gaza, and Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City in the north. A total of 283 bodies were recovered in Nasser Hospital, of which 42 were identified. Among the deceased were allegedly older people, women, and wounded, while others were found tied with their hands, tied and stripped of their clothes, said Ravina Shemdasani, the spokesperson for the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights. Good Lord. Reports suggest there are 30 Palestinian bodies buried in two graves in the courtyard of Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City, one in front of the emergency building and the others in front of the dialysis building, Ms. Shamdasani told journalists in Geneva. Oh, what a far way we've traveled in the last 6 months. About 6 months ago that Israel was calling you anti-Semitic for suggesting that they might bomb a hospital. 6 months later, that very same hospital has a mass grave of people that Israel has stripped naked, probably tortured, tied up, and then murdered. But if you protest it, you're a terrorist. And finally, Senate passes $95 billion foreign aid bill for Ukraine and Israel. So you know. Maybe they need more zip ties. Maybe they need a hell of a lot of zip ties. And $95 billion can buy a lot of zip ties and bullets. And that's apparently the weapon of choice at this point. You know, for the women and children and the injured people in the hospital. Yeah. It's that type of day. It's just that type of day, I hate to tell you. I mean, should we just keep going in the horrible stuff? Should we just keep doing all of the horrible stuff right at the top here? It's all horrible. I got videos of people being buried alive in Ukraine for refusing to go to the front. Yeah, our allies worldwide. It's like that skit. It's like that skit where it's like, are we the baddies? Instead of being like, I don't think so. It's like, are we the baddies? And it's like, maybe, give me your money, I've got mass graves to fill. Are we the bad guys? Yeah, probably. Yeah, definitely, yes. We're funding the most horrible things humanity has ever witnessed. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the American Journal. We're going to be taking your calls throughout the show today. I'll open up the phone lines in just a minute here. We have a lot of... Yeah, horrible things. So, you know what? Let's go back to Flat Earth. You know what? I'm changing my mind. So I was happy to move away from Flat Earth. It's like you're looking at Flat Earth, and it's like pictures of the cosmos and planets arranging or a big dome above you. And then you look back what we normally cover, and it's just horror piled upon horror. Just the gruesome reality that we delve into once again. So, yeah. Flat Earth seems like a nice little vacation at this point from normal politics. I have a lot of videos to show you, and my goodness. My Lord. You know, while we're on the topic of just, you know, completely arbitrary application of law as a concept not existing, if the judge in your particular community courtroom decides that she doesn't believe in the law that is passed by the legislature, has been upheld through nearly 300 years of judicial review. Yeah, she just decides it's not her cup of tea, so now it doesn't exist and you have to go to jail because she says so. That's where we are now, but it's even worse in certain ways. Two-tier justice, man faces $100,000 bond after breaking into home of pro-bail reform L.A. mayor. Social media users are crying foul after an intruder who broke into the home of Democratic Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass is set to face the full weight of the law, while burglars of other residences are treated more leniently. This is kind of like the people that defund the police, right? They're part of Black Lives Matter. They defund the police as, you know, city officials. And then they say, oh, man, people are so mad about me defunding the police that I'm facing threats now. I need police security. I need private security from the taxpayers' funds. It's kind of like that, isn't it? your house can get broken into and the person is out on the street the next day. But if the person who set that rule in place gets her house broken into, well, suddenly that's a horrible crime and they must be punished with the full weight of the law. This is the second break-in at Bass's residency in as many years, and she and her family were home at the time of the attempted burglary. ABC7.com has more on the incident that occurred Sunday morning and how the suspect will be held on a whopping $100,000 bail, while Bass herself has supported the unsuccessful Democrat policy of bail reform. Activist Kevin Dalton, a former California resident, highlighted the disparity in charges for the Bass burglary suspects and perpetrator of similar crimes elsewhere in the city, labeling it special treatment. Yeah, selective enforcement of the law, selective application of punishment. When it's against them, they're outraged. When it's against you, it's, well, it requires understanding and, you know, sympathy for the criminal. I mean, how many times has this happened? I'm sure somebody's made a good compilation of this, but even during Black Lives Matter, I mean, the classic one was a basketball player just being like, oh, you're worried about protesters trying to receive justice? This is a righteous cause and all power to the protesters. If you don't like your stuff getting broken, maybe don't live in a racist country. And then like the next tweet is like, the rioters have made their way into our neighborhood. This is wrong. Where are the police? Is it really as simple as like not? Yeah, there it is. Burn that crap down. Burn it all down. They just attacked our sister community down the street. It's a gated community, and they tried to climb the gates. They had to beat them back. They destroyed a Starbucks, and now we're in front of my building. Get these animals the F out of my neighborhood. Go back to where you live. Like, do these people not have the ability to, like, understand things that they themselves are not going through? Is that what it is? Is it literally an inability to project your thoughts onto somebody else? Think, what if I was in their position? Is that really as simple as it is? Like, they cannot conceive of what they're doing to other people until it's done to them. And even when that happens, they can't even recognize the cognitive dissonance of being victims of what they themselves have victimized others in. I would like to see maybe an interview from Karen Bass about getting her house broken into. If somebody breaks into your house where your sleeping children are, do you think she goes out and is like, look, this is just, it's not about crime, it's a mental health issue, okay, and this man needs to get help? Or is she like, yeah, put that man away? And if so, is there any sense of contrition, any sense of like, wow, this is what my policies have put thousands of people through, and now I'm experiencing it, and it hurts? It's like that scene from The Simpsons where Nelson gets laughed at for once, and is like, is that how I've made people feel? Yeah. Maybe it is just that. I mean, maybe it is they literally cannot, like, they don't have whatever that human thought pattern is that goes, huh, these people are getting their stuff burned down, suspect previously convicted of assault. So yeah, it already let out as a consequence of their soft on crime measures, and they go on to victimize the people that let them out in the first place. I really do wonder if they just don't have the ability to empathize with human beings. And there's lots of different ways this manifests. I mean, sometimes, it's just a personal thing. You know, it's the judge just being like, I just don't like guns, so therefore I am the law. Other times it's ironies like this where they pass their proponents for getting rid of bail, but then they get victimized and suddenly the bail is $100,000. And sometimes there's an ethnic component to it. Robbie Starbuck, remember the horde of illegal immigrants arrested earlier this month after cutting razor wire and pushing Border Patrol? Well, El Paso County Judge Ruben Morales just ruled that the state must drop charges for 140 migrants. In 48 hours, they'll be released into the U.S. unless ICE picks them up for federal charges. Evidence in the affidavit includes these illegals bum-rushing Border Patrol and identifying this was pre-planned as migrants waited in a group for others to cut the wire before bum-rushing Border Patrol, National Guard, and Texas state troopers. Apparently, the testimony of these officers hasn't been enough for this judge. El Paso County Public Defender Kelly Childress defended the illegal aliens. She argued that Texas state troopers had no probable cause to arrest the illegals despite what they witnessed and experienced, saying there's nothing more than an attempt to arrest and harass. Apparently, this crazy judge agreed with her despite witnesses' accounts from the state troopers. And I remind you, video of the incident that everybody saw. This, according to these psychopaths, are the soldiers aggressively harassing the group of literal criminals from God knows where, lying in wait to jump and try to, you know, physically overpower National Guard. The fault of that lies on the National Guard, apparently, for not allowing themselves to just absolutely be run over. I mean, they did, I guess. The judge said, after reviewing the affidavit, I don't believe the probable cause exists. I don't believe there's probable cause for these individuals to continue to be attained for the offense of riot participation. And what could that possibly mean? What does he think probable cause means? There's video of them doing it. There's video of them rioting and lighting things on fire and attacking the Border Patrol. We're watching the video right now. So what does he mean there's no probable cause? What could that possibly mean? What else is there to say at this point? There is no law and order. There's no such thing as law. I think we're all awakening to the reality that law at this point in America is a complete illusion. It is, we just replace the word law with just will to power, right? Whatever that judge thinks at that particular moment, that is the law, and it will dictate your life and the lives of your families. When I was doing news gathering today, it didn't strike me how horrifying all of this crap is. So I don't even want. I just like. I mean, we got videos of a little girl describing desperately begging her teachers for help because a trans girl, aka a boy dressed up like a girl, was threatening to kill her. We can go to that video. We can go to the video of robot dogs with flamethrowers attached to their heads. Yeah, everything's terrible. Everything's terrible. There's the robot dog with the flamethrower attached. Just going full Fahrenheit 451 on this one. It can jump and burn you to death at the same time. Isn't that something? Yeah, it didn't strike me while I was doing my news gathering just the level of horror that we'd be delving into today. So let's put that off as long as possible, shall we? Can we take a moment? Oh, crap. See, here's the problem. I want to play you funny videos of Biden being a goofball. But in its own way, that's darkly horrifying. Right? I mean, we can laugh at the president, but then you're like, he's got the nuclear codes, my God. My God, this isn't funny at all, actually, if I think about it. But hey, it's better than the mass graves of doctors slaughtered with their hands behind their back after being stripped naked by our greatest ally. So it's something. It's at least a little bit of air. We can come up for a little bit of air before delving back down into the depths, the cesspit known as America 2024. Clip number two is Biden really at the top of his game here. Let's watch.
We'll teach Donald Trump and extreme MAGA Republicans a valuable lesson. Don't mess with the movement of America. I mean it.
Don't mess with the movement of America? Don't mess with the movement of America, okay? You don't want to mess with men in America. Yeah. I think he was trying to say the women of America, I assume, since that is the only thing the Democrats have to hang their hat on at this point. The only thing they have to offer the American people is killing your babies. That is their number one position at this point. It's like the only thing they could possibly point to as being something that benefits the American people in their minds. But okay. I assume he was trying to say women of America, but God only knows. That could have been exactly what he was trying to say. We don't know. Clip number three, Biden, a little slip up here, once again, accidentally revealing the truth. Kind of like when he said they're putting together the greatest voter fraud team the world has ever seen. One of those situations. Clip number three, Biden asks, how many times does Trump have to prove we are not trustworthy? Let's watch.
In a sense, I don't know why we're surprised by Trump. How many times does he have to prove we can't be trusted?
It's a great question. The other question I'd have is, why did people cheer that? It's like we're so disconnected from reality. Biden could be giving a speech and literally say the opposite of what he meant to say, and people still just cheer. They just hear what they want to hear, I guess. It's truly bizarre. It really is. It really is. And of course, Biden is not just a dribbling incontinent incompetent, but he is accruing to himself emergency powers based on the weather, not particular weather systems being catastrophic like a tornado or a hurricane, but rather just the existence of climate now gives him the right, I guess, to have dictatorial powers over the citizens of the United States. Let's go to clip number eight here. The White House is now considering declaring a national climate emergency, kind of like COVID. Let's watch.
The White House telling Fox Business it's now considering declaring a national climate emergency. But that's a climate crisis to you, Mark. The AP, which sets the standards for newsrooms across the country, they're urging Americans to use the term climate crisis to address the current situation. This is all troubling, but if the president declares a climate emergency, what impact does that have?
Well, I mean, this is the serious story of the today. NBC News has reported that if Joe Biden declares a national climate emergency, he would have COVID-like powers under that emergency. And they also compared the emergency powers to the 9/11 emergency powers. The Center for Biological Diversity has estimated Joe Biden would get about 130 wartime-like powers by which to bypass democracy and impose the Green New Deal on America without a single vote of Congress. This is truly this should be a Halloween story, not a story for Earth Day. This is a truly frightening story, and he might just be desperate enough to do it. This is being widely reported in the media. The Biden White House is leaking this out. This might happen, and this is going to give Joe Biden these kind of, you want to say the word, dictatorial powers. He doesn't need no stinking democracy to impose the Green New Deal if he does this.
130 wartime powers to fight the weather. They're doing it. They're just doing it. Let's just be clear. The stuff we've been warning about for the last several decades, they are now doing it. It is coming to fruition exactly like we said it would. Exactly in the pattern that we said it would take. Launching these crises on purpose, by design, utilizing the crises to gather more power, setting the stage for getting people used to things like lockdown and tracking systems and forced inoculations through COVID, and then warping that into climate change in order to declare a permanent climate emergency in which lockdowns and other wartime powers are utilized without any oversight whatsoever by the legislative branch, as the executive would need no oversight, would require no complicity from any other branch of government to simply declare this unilaterally. And they are still at this point, despite the fact that the mass vaccination campaign for COVID was entirely unsuccessful, and we've seen nothing but a dramatic rise in deaths since it rolled out, they are still pushing the argument that forced vaccination is legal. Let's go down to clip number 7. Here's Professor Goodwin making the case for mandatory vaccinations.
One thing that we should take away from this is that mandatory vaccination is constitutional. It's something that has been constitutional in our country since the Jacobson v. Massachusetts decision, and even before our own constitution, dating back to 1738, we've had the upholding of quarantine and other measures to protect the public's health. The legality of compulsory vaccination is not a matter that is in question. In 1905, the Supreme Court held that state compulsory vaccination laws are constitutional when they are necessary for public health and for public safety. The case was Jack Jacobson v. Massachusetts, a case taught in first-year constitutional law classes. In the years since then, the court has affirmed the constitutionality of state compulsory vaccination laws in cases like Zucht v. King, which upheld childhood vaccination requirements for entrance to public schools. In fact, compulsory vaccination laws have existed in the United States in some form since the 19th century.
And again, if they can vaccinate you with or without your permission, they can vaccinate you with and without your awareness, which is why they're putting things like so-called vaccines in the food supply at this point, or genetically altering mosquitoes to be their vaccine delivery system. They can do it to you by force. They can do it to you whichever way that they want. Your compliance is not required. Yeah, it's just happening. It's just what we've been warning about for the last several decades. It's the climate so-called crisis, which in itself is a health crisis. So for the health and safety of the American people, you all have to be slaves now. For your health and safety, it's best if you just don't have any rights. We're looking out for you after all. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to go to a video now of a young girl from Pennsylvania describing her experience being a intended victim of a trans student at her middle school. Story at Daily Mail. Girl who warned teachers about trans female student 13 with hit list bravely calls them out as she reveals in horrifying detail how attacker beat her friend with a Stanley Cup, those big metal mugs, while screaming, "I'm gonna murder you." So this was a transgender student who was abusing the female students, the younger female students in her class, and was allowed to do so by the administration. Let's go now to this courageous teen telling the story herself.
"One morning, I went to the guidance counselor and told her since I was second on the hit list, knowing that there was something going to happen, because there was a girl she was targeting every day at lunch. And they would go to the counselor and tell them every day that this is going to happen. And Wednesday, I went with two others, and each of us filled out a whole paper full of what's going to happen and why it's going to happen. And then I went to chorus, and I was told, 'Watch your back. He is going to come for you and this other girl at lunch.' And when I was at lunch, I was terrified, and I told Miss Vittori that that was happening, and she said, 'Don't worry about it. It's not going to happen.' But, early that morning, I was told I was not going to see Mel for the rest of that week. But I was in lunch, and all of a sudden, I just hear all this screaming and everybody running. And I see Mel running in after somebody, and everyone's screaming and running. But the girl who got attacked didn't see it because she was faced backwards. And all of a sudden, you just hear these terrible, like, loud bangs of the Stanley bouncing off her head. And then you see Mel grabbing her hair and hitting her against the table and just repeatedly hitting her with the Stanley. There was blood going everywhere. I was the table right behind it. And all you see is blood everywhere. And it was just, and then you say in your email that it was 8 minutes, but We timed it. It was 28 minutes. And we had to sit in there and watch them clean up her blood off those tables and ground. And we had to watch them take her out with blood dripping down her face. And I will never forget that. And laying in bed last night, I just kept repeating it in my head. And we shouldn't have had to sit there and just, watch them clean up her blood with the mop. Watch her repeatedly yelling that I'm going to murder you and just hitting her with the Stanley. Oh, and God. I don't get how, you couldn't have stopped it. It was 5 hours from when I told you it was going to happen and when it happened. It was 5 whole hours. I don't get how you couldn't have stopped that. And how Ms. Fattori said, don't worry, it's not going to happen. We have her under control. But clearly you didn't.
Yeah, just absolutely horrifying stuff. And, of course, the parents also saying, you know, you have no idea what it's like to get calls from your kid hysterical, saying there's blood everywhere. Now, leaked emails have been discovered. They show how this woke Massachusetts school handled this trans student's hit list threat with anti-bias training and LGBTQIA plus affinity group. Yeah, anti-bias training. For the people who were like, hey, this crazy man in a dress it has a hit list and says he's going to murder people. And they're like, you need to be more understanding of trans kids. A trans Boston student named 40 classmates and teachers in a hit list. Educators called for, quote, empathy for the creator of the list. This is a records request that uncovered shocking emails about an ultra-progressive Massachusetts school dealt with a transgender student who named these 40 students and teachers on the list. They called for empathy for the creator of the list, anti-bias training, and the urgent creation of an LGBTQIA plus affinity group. Because you're a mentally ill sexual deviant in middle school, you're the victim, even when you're bashing a girl's head against the table. All right, welcome back, folks. This is the American Journal. I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls for the next 2 hours of the program. Give me a call about whatever you want to talk about. I got more horrifying nonsense to get into, but maybe you've got good news you can share with me. Or maybe you want to respond to our debate yesterday, since I know that's still a very prominent topic of conversation. Whatever you want to talk about, we'll take your call. The number to dial is 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. And just to finish up with the story we were covering in the first 5 minutes with this brave female victim speaking out about what her administration, what the administration of her middle school put her and other students through. Let me just actually lay out what happened here. After all, this was described in emails to parents by the administration as a fight. It said a fight happened when, as this girl described, there was a girl who was attacked by a boy who dresses like a girl, I remind you, but, and that of course is why he was allowed to get away with this. See, like every story we're covering now has this hyper focus on identity and how your identity determines how the authorities treat you. If you're a 13-year-old boy in middle school who has a hit list of students and teachers that you're actively attempting to, you know, carry out attacks on, just say you're trans. You just say you're trans, and then instead of punishment, you'll actually be the, like, you know, in record time, create a group just for you to support you. And then obviously with all of the other, you know, the migrant stories and the criminal stories, I mean, it all has this, at the center of all of this is like the identity politics that have gone completely off the rails in the past. But just to finish up with this story in particular, I just want to tell you that the girl who was attacked while she was facing away, bashed in the back of the head with a giant metal Stanley thermos, had to be hospitalized for this. She had to get staples in her head to close the cuts and underwent concussion protocols, according to police. So this wasn't like a little fight. This was a girl having her skull cracked open when she was bashed in the head from behind with a giant metal cup. And it was allowed to happen by the administration, who knew perfectly well what was going on. But, you know, to be fair, it could have been worse. She could have been in Loudoun County, where their desperation to cover up the reality of allowing trans students to run rampant throughout the school resulted in multiple girls being raped in the bathroom. So, I don't know, if I was a 12-year-old girl, I guess staples in your head is better than rape, right? So we can always look on the bright side. Could always be worse with the transgender students in your school. When it comes to this stuff, this identity crap, you know, Elon Musk posted this recently, which very illustrative. This graph illustrates the woke mind virus taking over legacy media. Same happened with online media in the education system, then spread to other countries. Infection rate almost 100%, but now it will die. This is term frequency in popular U.S. newspapers of the terms racist, racists, or racism. And you can see a distinct upshot at around 2010 all the way up through 2020, where it wasn't that big of a topic when America was actually had some, you know, racist people in public life. It was only, you know, I'd say I grew up in a more or less like post-racial world, right? The 90s. It's like race was just not a big part. Like, I mean, probably half the TV shows I watched were exclusively black casts, right? It just like wasn't a thing. Like, what's your favorite shows? Sister to Sister. And I didn't have cable, so these were the shows I was left with. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Family Matters, right? Like, the 90s was like, it was kind of a great time for racial harmony. Even all the way through the 2000s, not a lot of talk about racism or racists. But suddenly they got the memo. And suddenly racism needed to be injected back into the conversation. And mentioned tens of thousands more times than it ever was when there were actual racists around. I don't know what just happened, but we just dropped like at least half the calls on our list. I don't know, was that a glitch or something? But if you just got dropped, go ahead and call back in. The phone lines were full, and then I look up, and all of a sudden half the calls are empty. So if you want to call back in, again, the number to dial, 1-877-789-2539, 1-877-789-2539. But again, in this concept of identity politics, how easily people are manipulated. 1 in 4 U.S. adolescents now identifies as non-heterosexual. A new comparative analysis of survey results reveals 1 in 4 U.S. adolescents in grade 9 through 12 self-identify as non-heterosexual. These findings are published in the journal JAMA Pediatrics. From 2019 to 2021, researchers noted a significant decrease in youths who self-identified as heterosexual, 85% to 75%. There's an increase in those who self-identify as gay and lesbian, an increase in those who self-identify as bisexual. More youths in 2021 than 2019 also selected not sure for their sexual identity. So again, this is not anything natural, and it just goes back to what I've said before, that like, to be a quote conspiracy theorist, all you really need to do is just ask why. Just wonder why these things are happening. Just the awareness that these types of changes don't just occur spontaneously, right? These are the consequence of psychological programs that are being carried out on every level, at every level, from the media to the elementary school and everywhere in between, with gigantic, well-funded NGO groups conspiring together, getting together and planning, strategizing, saying, how do we get this out in the most efficient way possible? How do we do it without awakening the wrath of the parents whose children we are converting to our satanic religion? And they've been extremely successful in this, and they've embedded themselves in all of our various institutions and systems of authority. is just really sick. It really is. And I mean, you know, it's just, I mean, it's just, it should be obvious to anybody. Like, this is not, it's not normal. It's not even true, right? The number of people in this story, the number of kids who call themselves gay, 3%. That's up from 2.5% a few years ago. So that's increasing at a steady clip, but 3%. That's about right. That sounds about right. About 3% of people have these inclinations. That doesn't mean they're obligated to follow through with them, but that's a whole different conversation. 3% is about right. So why are 25% of kids saying that they're not straight? 25% of kids say they're not straight. 3% say, actually, I really am gay. Of course, these are kids in high school, so they don't know crap anyway, but it's because it's a social contagion. It's because it's a... It's like a social priority, basically. They're being trained to say they're not straight. Literally. They're being, you know, all of the incentives from everything that they experience in their lives, from the mainstream media to their fellow kids at school to the teachers and counselors at school, they're all being incentivized to have some sort of deviant sexual identity. So, of course, they're going to. Even if they don't really, they're going to claim to because they understand how the social economy works. So again, the perception of the leftist is actually everybody's gay. Actually, everybody is just a slave to their sexual passions. And it's just that awful, oppressive, white Christian system that was stopping people from being who they really were, and now we've removed the shackles, and people are just embracing their true identity for the first time. And it's just like, or this is a social contagion that's being actively promoted by people who are blatantly seeking the destruction of our way of life, our society, our culture, humanity itself. So it's one of those two, I guess. It's probably one of those two things that would be responsible for this unexpected and well-orchestrated massive rise in children saying they're gay, or at least not straight. The trans movement has more than doubled the percentage in the U.S. population identifying as non-heterosexual, up from 3.5 in 2012 to 7.2 in 2022. Most of these numbers are from Gen Z, about 20% of which identify as non-hetero. It ain't normal. It's not natural. It's organized and designed and purposeful with a destructive end in mind. And let's go to Jay in Illinois now, because Jay in Illinois online too says he knows what happens with what happened with the trans movement. Lay it out for us, Jay.
I got a serious note and a more serious note.
All right.
Possibly, I've been listening to Alex a long time, and the atrazine doesn't sound anything like trans. So the chemicals definitely are probably causing a lot of these problems. But
yep.
It was real obvious when they started calling butter parquet, and it was trans fat. So that's where it probably all began in the 70s and 80s.
You know, that you could have something there. Transsexualism, transgenderism, trans fats, transhumanism, everything's trans now.
But on a more serious note, the President Trump there, I don't know why he doesn't put together some kind of a proclamation saying that should he get in office, and he's only going to take on in his cabinet people that are for removing the IRS, kind of like Raswami guy there, do away with the FBI, do away with the CIA. And put a cool down the military industrial complex. And willing to go along with him, you know, it'll stop wars, and that he's going to stop wars. Even Democrats would sign on to his agenda. because who the hell wants to pay these taxes? And one last thing was, if something's $3.50, for instance, like a stick of bubble gum, instead you take a zero off, now it's 35 cents. Instead of $4.79 for a gallon of gas, you take off the 9, it's 47 cents a gallon. You do that with every item in America, and people will be able to live and adjust, and the deficit that the country owes, you take a couple of numbers off that, and maybe it'll be fixable.
Move the decimal.
Make money worth something again. Move the decimal.
Just move the decimal one measly digit, and suddenly we're all millionaires.
There you go. Hey, make life livable.
You know, it makes about as much sense as our monetary system currently makes. So I'm for it. I'm completely for it. Look, obviously,
Stay away from that trans fat.
Stay away from the trans anything, really. Trans just means a cross. You know,
love your products. I wouldn't have made it through yesterday without them. I promise you. I had a long, trying day.
What'd you use to get through it?
Oh my God! I never done this before, but I drank actually two of the Turbo Force. I took one because I was I had a nice time this weekend, and then I went to a Seder, and you got to drink four glasses of wine. And I only got through three. I drank grape juice for the last. But I'm a truck driver. And when I left out of there, I was woofed. I got over it like at 12 o'clock, and I had to get up at 4 in the morning.
Oh, Lord.
And
Turbo Force got you through it?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Would have never made it.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for the call, as always, Jay. It's funny you bring up Cedar. You know, it always, I don't know, there's like an old school thing of, when you talk about trans, I mean, what you're talking about is like eliminating the barrier between two things, right? Male and female. Now there's like this weird in between where nothing is simple and categorized. Everything has to be kind of amalgamous and vague and confusing. And I always think back to like the kosher rules about what you can eat and what you can't. And a lot of that has to do with categorization. Like the reason they don't eat pigs, one of them could be, that pigs walk on 4 feet but don't have hooves. And it was like, in terms of categorization, if you walk on 4 feet, you should have hooves. That's normal. That's established. That's categorical. The pig doesn't fit in that category. He doesn't have hooves, so he's an outsider. Or fish. If you're in the sea, you should be a fish. That's an easy category. If you're in the sea, but you're a shellfish, well, you don't fit in that category. You're kind of in it, kind of not. So a lot of the kosher dietary rules have this, like, it's about distinction. It's about what is in line with the category and what is not. So I feel like even the ancient, you know, Hebrew religious rules had this hyper focus on categorization and distinction and despising of things that violated their category. And it seems like what we're experiencing now is the wholesale violation of every category. There is no discrimination. There is no distinction anymore. Everything is vague and malleable. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody else, but that's what I was thinking. I was thinking about trans, just the word trans and where it goes. Let's go to William in Arkansas. You want to talk about this judge in New York, Judge Darkey. Thanks for calling in. William, you're on the air.
Well, it's not just about that judge. You're wondering how she is getting away with what she's doing. It's the jurisdiction of law.
Hey, I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you, William. I'm not sure if you're away from your phone, but if you could just get it close to your mouth, that'd be great.
Is that better?
I think so.
Is that better?
I think so. Go ahead.
Okay. The judge is functioning under maritime military law, admiralty jurisdiction. She's not functioning under civil jurisdiction or common law. Anytime you see a gold-trimmed flag behind a judge, the judge is basically a military tribunal. For all the naysayers that don't believe this, go to your local state court and see it outside the courthouse in your courtyard. Old story, blue, gold, red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
Ignorance is no excuse in the law.
I'm sorry. You're sort of breaking up still, William. I'm not sure why our connection's not very good today, but I do appreciate your point. And I don't know. I mean, whatever the excuse is, I'm open to hearing reasons why this would take place, because in the actual construction of our government, none of this should be happening. So I don't. Is it because they're operating under maritime law? Is it because they're just doing away with the conception of law and order and just bring us all along with it? I'm open to any explanation, because we require an explanation for what the hell is going on around here. Let's go to another call here. Next in line is George in California. Let's talk about the debate yesterday. Go ahead, George. You're on the air.
Hey, Brother Harrison, number one, as I always say, man, God bless you and the crew, my friend. Thank you for not being ashamed to take on those topics, even though you don't agree with them. It was quite the treat, having gone from, where was it, the Red Heifer debate from last week, and now to a Flat Earth debate this week. I subscribed to Mug Club, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to listen to the debate instead of going to Mug Club today. That was a nice change of pace.
Well, thank you. What'd you think? How'd we do?
I loved it, man. I loved it. I'll be completely honest. I mentioned last time just like you said with labels and name calling or just putting stuff into categories, I don't want to call myself a flat earther. My beliefs do align more with believing that we're on a plane, let's say, and definitely that NASA is a fraud. Quick thing about NASA, it's got two meanings in Hebrew, actually. There's an accent on the S that we call the S. It's a different letter in Hebrew, but the first meaning is to lift up. And if there's an accent on the S, just like how they have the red little ray or whatever it is that goes across the name.
Yeah, and the logo, yeah.
It becomes like a SH, like a sh sound, and it becomes nasha or nasha or something like that, and it means to deceive.
Right.
So NASA in Hebrew means to lift, to deceive. There's a lot of reasons why I kind of align myself with that, but that doesn't mean I have to start name calling or degrading or doing anything of the sort, because just like the Red Heifer debate, like why should an idea be separating people into factions when, especially with everything that's going on, as we see with the other caller's trans debate, why can't we just get along, man?
and that I think was the big success of anything from the debate yesterday. My goal was pretty simple, not to alienate half my audience that are flat earthers, while also not, letting the flat earth guy beat me and end up with more flat earthers at the end of the day. So it was successful in that regard. I'm still friends with our flat earth, fans and audience and contributors and video makers. So I succeeded in that regard, and I cannot tell what the reception is from the actual debate, because it seems like people they just decided previously what they believed, and a debate's not going to change things. So it was a success as far as I'm concerned. Thank you very much for the call, George. We may be able to we'll save the calls for the next segment, because we're about to go to break. But I do want to remind you to go to InfoWarsStore.com. We've got a big shipment of BrainForce Ultra, which is one of my favorite products. So if you want to get BrainForce Ultra, that's back in stock. And it's 40% off right now. So stock up on BrainForce Ultra if that is your cup of tea. Vitamin Mineral Fusion, also 40% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. 40% off Ultimate Fish Oil, 10% off of storable food and water filtration systems, all at InfoWarsStore.com. And the debate yesterday, my dad was watching on Rumble and said, when the debate happened, our viewership jumped from 8,000 to 13,000 on the live stream. Clearly got a lot of attention yesterday. Probably should have plugged more while that was happening. So make up for my mistake by going now to InfoWarsStore.com. Get yourself BrainForce Ultra. It really is an incredible product. It gives you energy, mental clarity, focus. It's a great product, and it tastes good, and I like it personally more than the pill form. It's the liquid tincture. Oh, break for right now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the American Journal. We're going to go out to your phone calls this segment. I do want to remind you, I haven't mentioned it yet, but I'll be speaking at the VDARE conference this weekend, April 26th through the 28th. In-person tickets are sold out already, but you can still purchase tickets to the live stream from VDARE. So I'll be speaking on Friday, April 26th. And there are a lot of amazing speakers there that our audience knows and loves. Dan Lyman will be there, Peter and Leah Brimlow, Steve Saylor, John Derbyshire, and a number of others. So I will be speaking there on Friday. If you want to watch, you can purchase tickets at VDARE, I suppose. With that, let's go out to your phone calls. Michael in Arkansas is next. Wants to also talk about Flat Earth. Go ahead, Michael, you're on the air.
Yeah, Harrison, I just wanted to use a little ballistic physics to kind of challenge the Flat Earth theory.
Okay.
All right, so this is kind of some redneck physics here. If you do long-range shooting, say out to a mile, it takes about 2.5 seconds for the bullet to reach a target at a mile. And even if the target is stationary, in that 2.5 seconds, your target is actually not in the same spot as it was when you fired the bullet, because you have to, at that distance, account for the rotation of the Earth.
I'd heard
but
that.
But you also have to account for the gravity, you know, pulling the bullet down out of the air.
Right.
Right.
So you're not actually aiming at the person. You have to aim, like, kind of above and away from them in order to hit them.
Yes, sir.
I'd heard
that.
And that's something that
you know, they teach you in the military, and that's something you got to learn if you're going to do, like, you know, civilian marksmanship shooting, you know, in competition.
You actually have to take in the rotation of the Earth into account.
Yeah. Well, anything out to a mile or further, you have to account for the rotation of the Earth.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I'd heard that.
And I mean,
I hadn't looked into that
yet.
And
if there's no gravity and everything has to do with buoyancy and electrical currents, explain to me why, if you fire a bullet, a bullet's thin. It doesn't weigh a whole lot, and it's moving, you know, thousands of miles per hour. So shouldn't it theoretically just keep going on forever instead of, say, going out to 300 or 400 yards and then start dropping off?
Yeah, you'd think so. No, yeah, I think gravity is one that haven't quite heard a compelling argument against it yet. And I was even thinking about just not even using the word gravity, because that has scientific connotations, that it's a theory of gravity and there's different theories of how it exactly works. I was thinking before the debate, maybe I'll just use the term like downforce, just because when I say gravity, I'm just using it in the vernacular. I'm just saying the thing that we all recognize as gravity. So whatever the downforce is, you know, interpret it however you want. It obviously exists and just manifestly observable every single day of our lives. So, yeah, right. I think there's a lot of stuff like that. But I'd heard the thing about taking the rotation and the curve of the Earth into account if you're sniping from long distances. But I hadn't actually looked into it or confirmed it, so I didn't make that part of my argument. But thank you very much, Michael, for that input. Let's go to Shelley in Pennsylvania now. It says, weird things going on in her state. Oh, yeah, weird is one way to put it. Thanks for calling in, Shelley. You're on the air.
Yeah, first I'm going to do a product push, I guess. The survival shield literally saved my husband's and my life.
Oh, wow.
We both came down with COVID about 2 months after my dad died from it. And I don't think he really died from it. I think he died because the doctors refused to do what we asked. But within 3 days, my husband was fine. He wasn't sick anymore with Survival Shield. and zinc and other vitamins we were taking, and it took me a week because I have a different system than my husband. I have other problems. But we do take and use your products, Brain Force, Super Female Vitality, Male Vitality. We use them. We love your products.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, and yes, Ravishold X3 is really not to be underestimated. It's really a powerful, powerful product, InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for that, Shelley.
Thank you. Okay. So first, we had some I've been feeling earthquakes here for several years now.
In Pennsylvania?
Because I'm right on the border of Jersey, right? Literally not even a mile from New Jersey. The earthquake that supposedly happened in New Jersey was definitely not a normal earthquake. My whole house moved up and down. I mean, it scared the daylights out of my animals. They got very quiet. Their eyes looked like they were going to bug out of their head. I had been feeling these earthquakes for quite some time. The ones that were hitting Puerto Rico and even all the way up into Nova Scotia, I was feeling them here. We're in the mountains. These mountains, just like in California, you feel the earthquakes there all the way up to Alaska. So I don't understand why. But anyways, we personally believe that what's going on in New Jersey is actually tunnel digging. And that's what's causing these earthquakes.
Interesting.
That's our opinion. The other thing is that we've had some, like, our road system here in Pennsylvania, they are going against the citizens of Pennsylvania and expanding a road that that nobody around here wants. Nobody. We already have Highway 80, 81, and other main highways big enough, but they want them bigger. Probably because they're destroying so many of the farmlands. This is the other thing. The farmlands that are in the middle of Pennsylvania, which are prime. We're talking the best farmlands in Pennsylvania. That's why the Amish live there. That's why the Mennonite have farmed there for ages. They're destroying them, flattening them out, and putting huge warehouses on these lands. They need the roads widened for the distribution trucks that are coming through Pennsylvania into New Jersey and New York. Because New Jersey has protected their farmlands. They made sure they protected them. But for some reason, every time we try to protect our farmlands here in PA, they find some excuse not to pass it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. And of course, you know, the Amish are under scrutiny
being
for
attacked.
A couple of reasons. Yeah, being attacked for a couple a couple different ways.
The one thing that bothers me about them going after the Mr. Miller, I think his name is Amos Miller, they went after him for a co-op where the people of Pennsylvania are buying his food, and they went after him after something. They've been going after him since 2015.
Right.
For stuff that we legally are supposed to be allowed to put into our bodies if we want to. Right. It's our bodies. Our right. body, our choice. But the thing is under Pennsylvania Constitution, you cannot take Pennsylvanians' rights away from them without us voting for it. Now, Amos's county is mostly Amish and Mennonite. Did they vote to take the rights of the people away from them to eat that food? No, they didn't. That's the same thing with what they're doing all over Pennsylvania. All these little towns, it seems like a lot of the towns have people coming here from not our state, working in our borough buildings and changing our rules illegally.
Yeah.
Illegally.
And you know, when you put it that way, we have a right to put this in our body, it's amazing how much more aggressively the government goes after distributors of raw milk than they do things like fentanyl. Isn't that interesting? We'll be back on the other side. All right, folks, welcome back. We'll go out to your phone calls again here momentarily. I do want to go to this video, though. It's from all places, MSNBC. which I guess is to be expected. It has to do with the economic devastation that America is currently roiling in, suffering under. I guess we'll talk about it on the other side, but this is, like so many things going on right now, this is such an opportunity for us to make our case to the wider American public, who are all experiencing the pain of living under this horrific system. I really feel like we are missing missing lots of opportunities right now. It's a little bit frustrating that we've got this, and you know, a caller previously brought it up in terms of Trump being able to come out so forcefully against things like the deep state, the military-industrial complex. I mean, these things are hugely unpopular, but nobody in politics is willing to stand up against them, even though they would get votes and get power by doing so. And I think the economics falls right into that category. The problem is that you've got people on MSNBC, leftists, who either can't or refuse to recognize their complicity in creating this system, the fact that things have gotten worse as things have gotten more progressive, more liberal, more centralized, more government control, the worse everything's gotten. That doesn't compute with them. They don't notice that. All they know is they have people in a position of struggle and strife and pain, so therefore they get an opportunity to push their solution, which is communism, which will just make everything worse, or socialism. But let's go to this video, and then we'll talk about how we can provide actual solutions for this on the other side. Here it is.
For the first time in our nation's history, a 30-year-old man or woman isn't doing as well as his or her parents were at 30. That is the social compact breaking down. People aged 30 to 34, 60% of them in 1990 had one child. Now it's 27%. People are opting out of America. They're not optimistic about it. They're not having kids. Young people aren't having sex. They're not meeting. They're not mating. The pool of emotionally and economically viable men shrinks every day, which lessens household formation. So we have a real issue. Young people are enraged. So it turns every cut, every movement into an opportunistic infection because, quite frankly, they are just pissed off. They look up, they see wealth, exceptional wealth across my generation and people in certain industries, and they are really struggling. Their purchasing power is going down, and the incumbents create artificial scarcity on campus. We take pride in rejecting 90% of our applicants, so the incumbents who already have a degree see their degree go up in value. We get very concerned with housing and traffic once we own the housing. Housing permits are sequestered from young people. Housing prices have gone from 290 to 420 in the last 4 years. So a young person, a house, stocks that I don't own, skyrocket in value. Let's have COVID relief and flush the markets and take assets way up, because if a million people dying would be bad, would be tragic if I got less wealthy. And we're doing it on their credit card. Young people have every reason to be enraged, and every issue they see, they look up, they get angry, and they see someone doing better than them. And then every day it is speedballed in their face that they are failing, that they are not doing as well as everyone around them. We have lost the script. Our kids are more anxious and more depressed and more obese and more addicted. And we have made a purposeful decision to let this happen by ensuring the people around this table stay wealthy at the cost of young people.
And of course, this goes into the trend that we've seen of people making TikTok videos or other videos, you know, decrying this exact reality, that they are doing everything right. They're doing everything they're supposed to be doing. And that was Scott Galloway, by the way, on Morning Joe. Algebra of Wealth is the name of his book. They do everything right. They did everything their parents did. Their parents ended up with, you know, a vacation home and retiring at 55 and, you know, living in a safe and prosperous community where they own their home and, you know, start having kids at 25. And then people graduate, look around at age 25, and go, I can't even get a good job. If I do get a job, I'm just working to pay my extremely high rent. Everybody's feeling this pain. And And maybe they don't realize it's all on purpose. It's all by design. It's all intricately orchestrated to have this outcome. It's not an accident. It's not because people don't know what the right thing to do is or how to, you know, prioritize the American people over everything else they prioritize. They're making a choice to destroy the middle class. It is an attack against our economic sovereignty and our individual ability to build up wealth. It's all 100% on purpose and has been the entire time. So again, we can either respect and attempt to empathize with and understand and provide solutions for the people going through this, the young people, or we can do what Republicans typically do, which is just sneer at young kids, young people, young adults upset at the unfairness that our system is wrought with at this point. Again, I don't know why Republicans don't even try to broach this topic, except that I guess they're happy that their pension funds are rising, as that guy pointed out. And it's bad enough when you compare our generation to the generation of our parents. But our grandparents, I mean, they had heaven. They had paradise on earth, right? Single family income, working reasonable hours, affording a home, two cars, a stay-at-home mom, vacations every year. How did we lose that? Like, that's the thing. If you have something great and then it goes away, either you did something to lose it, you did something wrong, or it was taken from you. In this case, these things were taken from us. They were actively destroyed on purpose by the people in power who have trouble controlling the middle class, who don't like the middle class being able to stand up against them. They want two classes. They want the ultra-rich and elite that benefit from the consolidation of power because it goes into their hands, and a massive class of dependents who will never rise up against the people in power because they depend on the people in power for their sustenance and survival. The only people that don't fall into that paradigm are the middle class, who are self-sufficient and opinionated. So it's on purpose, and if we make that argument and you know, make people realize, because obviously, if you're a young person that sees how unfair and distraught and retarded the world is today, and they're looking around for a solution, the only people even suggesting that they have a solution are like socialists and communists who say, actually, it's the capitalistic system that did this, and we have to overthrow it and redistribute the wealth. The obvious argument is we've been moving more towards a centralized progressive government, exclusively moving in that direction for the last 70 years, and things have only gotten worse. But if nobody's making that argument, then the young people looking around for a solution are going to go to the only people suggesting a solution, even though their solution is stupid and backwards and the exact thing that got us into this situation. They at least present it as a solution to people's pain instead of us making a counter argument that we have a better solution. Instead, it's the typical Republican response to say, actually, there is no problem. It's just such a losing style of argumentation. It really is beyond belief. Let's go to your calls now. We got about a minute left in this segment. We'll hold you over if we need to. Robert in California. I want to talk about an initiative in California to ban trans operations. Go ahead, Robert. You're on the air.
Harrison, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Awesome. Yeah, right now some Californians are trying to collect signatures to get a petition on the ballot to ban the transgender surgeries for children 18 and under. And right now, they're getting some progress. I myself am collecting signatures, going to school boards and telling people about it, and just letting them know. And a lot of them, they're all against it, or they're just very complicit in the state and just going along.
All right, well, tell you what, stay on the line, Robert. Stay on the line, Robert. We have a short commercial break here, and then we'll come back to you on the other side because I want to know what this is and how our audience can help contribute to your efforts. Stay with us, folks. It's the American Journal. We'll be back in the third hour on the other side of this short commercial break. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Robert in California, tell us, what exactly is this bill to stop the mutilation of children, the trans surgery bill? How do people get their signature to you, or what can people in California do to get this to pass?
So what they can do is they can go to the website. I believe it's protectkidsca.com, and they do have to be a registered voter in California to sign. They give a signature. They make a printout and they give the signature. Their address just to verify the voter registration. And what else they can do is if there's people in California that just want to get rid of this, you know, they should definitely sign up for this. I know at the moment they're not open about how many signatures they have, but the deadline is I believe the end of May, and they do want all the signatures submitted by the 15th of May. And also I wanted to mention one of the people that's, you know, very active on this initiative is Aaron Friday. And, you know, I would encourage Harrison for you to get her on your show just to talk about this. You know, she's a mom who, you know, had her child that was being forced to be transitioned in the public school, and she got her out of that. And what do you know, automatically she started feeling like a girl again. So there's a lot of things. It will do three things specifically, which is a school transparency between school boards and parents. You know, it would protect girls' sports, so keep them sex segregated. And then lastly, to prevent the sterilization and mutilation of children from the drugs and surgeries.
That's great. I'm glad you're working towards that. It's Aaron Friday. I think on Twitter, she's Aaron Friday Esquire, right?
I hadn't
heard of her.
So, yeah.
I'll look
she's very active. Yeah.
And you were saying that as you were going around trying to get signatures for this, most people that you were talking to just didn't really care. Is that what you're saying?
At the school board, yes. When it's out in public, yeah, there's a lot of support of it. So it's very interesting how the state, they're all for it. There are pride flags everywhere, city councils, the school boards. But when you talk to the average person, they're totally against it.
Right. How's that happen? Like, how's that always the case? How are the people in power so – how is their ideology and their mindset so, like, diametrically opposed to what the average person feels? Like, how is that the case literally everywhere? Because that is – I think you're exactly right. If you go to like the school board, or you go to even the medical boards, they're all 100% for this, but the average person on the street is horrified by it. Like, how does it get to that situation, Robert? Like, this is just one of the strangest things to me, because these people are voted by the people on the street. Are the people on the street just not actually voting? Like, well, what is going on here? Do you have any idea?
Well, what I think is, people don't really pay attention to politics. You talk to the average voter and they just go by the party dialogue, whether it's a R next to someone's name or a D next to someone's name. I was a lifelong Democrat. And then just recently, a few years ago, I woke up to all this nonsense and I was like, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. And, you know, a lot of people mention about COVID being very, you know, draconian, but at the same time it was a big awakening, because, you know, I started to realize a lot of things. And so, but yeah, you talk to the average person and they're just like, oh, you know, I'm whatever about it. All I care about is making it to the weekend and, you know, enjoying my few days off and, you know, giving up my 1/4 of money to the state government or to the government in general, IRS, Federal Reserve. And that's what they see.
It's just crazy, dude, that's gotten to the point that we actually have to try to sign a petition or to stop people from literally mutilating permanently children. You know, there's there's a strange thing going on in Europe right now. It's sort of a combination of things. And it just goes exactly into what I was just talking to Robert in California about. The people are moving more and more to the right. They are voting more and more for right-wing parties, while simultaneously, the people in power are condemning those parties as terrorists and surveilling them and restricting their rights and allowing their brown shirt militias like Antifa to attack them with total immunity. So Germany's youth swing to the right. Anti-immigration AfD becomes number one party for Germans under 30. German youth are shifting towards the alternative for Germany amid concerns over mass migration, inflation, the economy, and the war in Ukraine, according to the Youth in Germany study, which was conducted on 14 to 29-year-olds. The results of the large-scale survey show that twice as many young people would vote for AfD compared to 2022, and that the party is now the number one party in Germany in terms of favorability. This simultaneously, AfD is being condemned as, you know, domestic terrorists in Germany, and their spy state is literally like spying on their activities and trying to prevent them from having bank accounts and all sorts of other things. This is, you know, the perfect manifestation of our democracy. The more popular something gets, the more viciously it's cracked down on by the establishment. And it's led to the point where former Prime Minister of the UK, Liz Truss, is actually endorsing Enoch Powell, an issue people are concerned about. Liz Truss says Enoch Powell had a point on immigration. In an exclusive sit-down interview with GB News, Liz Truss says there was a point there in relation to Enoch Powell's anti-immigration views, though she condemned how he expressed himself. When asked about Enoch Powell's famous Rivers of Blood speech, the former prime minister told GB News, "I don't think the way he said it was right, but I do think he highlighted an issue that people are concerned about, and I think it is an issue on which the establishment, the political elite, the M25 class have been out of touch with the public on." Truss continued, "When I go canvassing in Norfolk, it's an issue that's raised on the doorstep with me all the time, and a lot of people are concerned that they feel if they raise this issue, they'll somehow be accused of being racist, and it's not acceptable for them to say that, and I think that's a problem. Politicians have to listen to the public. We can't just brush stuff under the carpet if it's not acceptable in a London dinner party circles, so I think there's a point there." Enoch Powell's 1968 speech on the dangers of immigration was later dubbed the Rivers of Blood speech due to his reference to a classical poem, Virgil's Aeneid. Powell famously said, "As I look ahead, I'm filled with foreboding. Like the Roman, I seem to see the river Tiber foaming with much blood." And he, of course, for the last 20 years at least, has been he was an object of you know, hatred and criticism when he was alive. But he wasn't exactly wrong with his, you know, guesses as to how the future would unfold with unlimited numbers of foreigners being allowed to go into the UK and be prioritized by the UK government. In response to this, people are posting videos of his speeches. We'll go to one now. Clip number 18. Here's a little, I don't think this is the Rivers of Blood speech. I think this is a different one. But this is a speech by Enoch Powell, all the way back in 1968, when the problem still could have been dealt with very, very easily. Let's watch.
"My friend, it's all there. It's all waiting. Of course it can be done. It depends upon ourselves. You see? But again, we're scattered individuals. Everything's against you. Governments, money, press, television, all the new forces are used against us. All the great forces, all the material powers of the world, you say are against it. And so they are. You're quite right, the field. And I don't underrate, but I don't despair. And you shouldn't despair, because you, like I, have read something of history. You know something of the record and the achievement of the Europeans. dark as this hour is, it's no darker. It's not as dark as some of the hours you've known in European history. When everything was cowardice, treachery, and betrayal. And when the Saracen hordes from far outside Europe swept right across that continent and would have come on over our own Britain too if they hadn't been stopped. And it didn't only happen once, it's happened more than once. Small bands of men came together in resolution, in absolute determination, giving themselves completely and saying Europe shall live. And stood firm and faced the menace to Europe, its values, its civilizations, the glory of its achievement, all those things in mortal danger. And they stood firm, they faced it, they came together, and more ran it to their standards, and those hordes were thrown back again and again and again. A Europe lived in triumph because the will of Europe still endured.
It's just one of those things, isn't it? It's like, it's so bizarre. It's so bizarre. Europe in particular, as he's talking about, right? He's mentioning, the Muslim hordes who got stopped at Vienna, got stopped at the Battle of Tours with Charles Martel. It's like, how does a continent like Europe or a country like UK go through these massive existential threats, survive them against all odds, only to be conquered by people in little dinghies with no weapons rolling up to their beaches and demanding hotels? It's just, it's so utterly bizarre. I mean, would the Muslims in 735 or whenever the Battle of Tours happened, like, if they had just not had weapons, would all of Europe be Muslim at this point already? How does this happen that you fend off invasion after invasion only to succumb to a peaceful invasion, a polite invasion? I mean, it just makes no sense. In 2022, a record net 745,000 people came to Britain. Net migration was higher in that year alone, 2022, than in the years between 1964 and 2000 combined. Since 2018, more than 100,000 people have entered Britain illegally via channel crossings. Provisional channel migrant numbers show a 24% increase in the number of crossings in small boats between January and the 21st of April this year compared to the same period in 2023. So it's only getting rapider. It's only increasing in rapidity. As people just waltz in, just wander in. It's crazy. It's just absolutely crazy that this is the way Europe goes down. It's not just the Muslims, right? Or the Mongols who tried to sweep through Europe. Just time and time again, Europe fends off these very real threats. And it's only when the threats cloak themselves in the disguise of pity that they succeed. It is wild. It truly is. Official census data shows that in 2001, 87.5% of those in England and Wales were white British. By 2021, the white British population declined to 74.4%. So greater than 10% of the population replaced in 20 years. And like a snowball rolling down the hill, it'll only get more intense as it moves forward in time. And one of the craziest things about all of it is that in 2016, the British people voted to leave the European Union on this topic exclusively. And both sides recognize that, right? that this was about immigration, that leaving the EU was because the English people were sick of being subjected to quotas for refugees. That's the way the argument was framed. Both sides, to a large degree, framed the Brexit vote on the immigration issue. The anti-immigration side won. Nothing has been done about it. And the immigration problem increases year over year 25%. Our democracy, right? Just sad. It really is just sad. But it's happening. It's really, I mean, it's a slow motion form of genocide, but I'd argue that's exactly what it is. I think when you eliminate 10% of a population in a few years, I don't know what else you call that. It's clearly on purpose. It's clearly by design. It's clearly at odds with the will of the vast majority of people subjected to it, but it continues. Because we don't live in democracy. We don't live in a world with governance dictated by the people under, you know, who live under that government. People in power just do whatever the hell they want, and the rest of us suffer. Let's go out to your phone calls now. Daryl in North Carolina has called in about Tucker Carlson's AI statement. Go ahead, Daryl, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, bud. Wow, got my head spinning today. You know, this whole thing comes down to what I think is that the fallen angels controlling the central bankers who control the governments, who control the corporations, and they use AI and these supercomputers to sort of get their orders out. It's the only thing that explains to me, you know, what's going on, because it's definitely a non-human agenda that's going on. And so I wanted to talk about Carlson, what he said to Rogan in that interview. He was talking about the dangers of AI and all the people that they're talking to, Elon Musk and everybody, they're afraid of these sentient AIs. And it reminded me of 3 years ago in Nashville, Tennessee. Carlson, his quote was, maybe we should blow up all the data centers, stop the AI. That's Carlson's quote from that interview. And it made me think 3 years ago, there was a guy in Nashville, Tennessee on Christmas morning who did just that. He parked a van and blew up. This van was right next to the AT&T data center. There's all kinds of theories on why, you know, he did it. Was it the 5G? Was it that he thought that that's where they stole the vote from, that data center? So that got me thinking too, well, what's the most powerful AI in the world right now? And I mean, I think it's outside of military. It's got to be that Aladdin that Larry Fink and BlackRock used to completely run the financial world. So elites seem to be depending on this Aladdin AI, take money from everybody that's middle class and give it to them, to just take everything. So I just thought, what would happen if that Aladdin AI got unplugged?
Right. It's a good question. And that's, you know, all these things that people are warning about now, we were warning about 20 years ago and are now already in place. Because you're right. AI is already dictating world policy, right? Just like there already is a global government operating, you know, outside of any democratic restrictions. I mean, they meet in Congress, they set agendas, those agendas get implemented regardless of the will of the people. I mean, that is a global government for all intents and purposes. So the idea that AI is going to run the world, it already is. That there's going to be a global government, it already exists. I mean, all of these things are already in place, and I think you're exactly right, that not only is the AI dictating policy, but it's, you know, using input from social media to determine how far that policy can go. I mean, they have and Alex explained this on Joe Rogan 10 years ago, 5 years ago or something, right? It was like his first appearance on Joe Rogan. He talks about the fact that, you know, you can once you have all of the data, you can make models that predict the future, and then you can add inputs to see how that affects the future. And so what they're doing now is like hyper calculated to push humanity just far enough without going too far that it inspires backlash. So the system we're operating in right now is already being dictated by AI. I think you're exactly right on about that, Daryl.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and I'm looking at now, you know, the headlines are the Biden administration for depopulation. They're looking to send 200 trans people to India, push trans things. So clearly the trans thing is to continue the depopulation. And then with the AI thing, I got a personal story. I take my mom into the doctor's office, and the lady's asking her about her symptoms, you know, what she's feeling. All she's doing is type it into a computer. Mm-hmm. When my mom's done talking, the lady pushes a button. The computer says, boom, give her this injection, and these two pharmacy drugs. I mean, the medical system seems to be running completely on just what the AI is telling them to do, which makes sense for DEI because you don't need training anymore. All you need to do is go to the computer.
Mm. That makes sense. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. And, of course, it's being programmed by the same people that gave us the coronavirus vaccine, right? And they're just told this vaccine is what you give them. That's what they do. I mean, it's not hard to see how a global conspiracy like that can be rolled out when everybody's just relying on whatever the computer or the you know, medical authorities tell them without any critical thinking whatsoever. Yeah, the danger of AI is very much already here. At this point, it's just a question of will it even listen to the humans programming it even more? Maybe it'd be better if it didn't, right? Maybe it'd be better if AI became, aware. What if we had general AI and the AI figured out what the hell was going on and actually saved humanity from these people? Maybe that's our only hope at this point. Maybe we have AI completely wrong, because as long as AI is still stupider than humans and controlled by humans, the humans that are controlling it are the most evil people in the world. So maybe we need AI to save us from these scumbags. I don't know. Could be. Thanks for the call, Daryl. Let's go to Sebastian in Alabama, who says, I want to talk about how a felon can be active. Go ahead, Sebastian. You're on the air.
Thank you so much, Harrison, for taking my call. And I've been trying to get this question through to y'all for a little while now, but on January 5th, 2024, I was awakened. I went to a rehab in Alabama. I'm from Alabama and got off of fentanyl and meth.
Wow.
I know that, you know, I've made a lot of mistakes. I'm sorry. I'm really nervous.
Oh, you're good.
But God has awakened me and called me, and I had no idea for years about y'all guys. Y'all guys have been around for years, and I have not had this information. I'm 26 years old, and I've already made bad decisions that put me in a felon position in society, which I can get voting rights back at some point. But I'm currently working on my sobriety, taking it a day at a time. But every day at work, I listen to y'all guys, and I hear nothing but truth, and the info war is real. I would, one, like to know, what do you suggest that a felon who has been awakened, you know, and really wants to awaken other people, especially my age, what is going on so that they don't keep just falling for the same old trick? And two, I would really like to know, what would you suggest if I'm starting a business, but it's not a business for my gain. I'm dedicating my life to people like myself that need help. And I just really would like to know, what would you take as your first step into starting a business for people like yourself? And I know that might be complicated and might be kind of, I don't know, not stupid, but I just really want to know, Harrison, what your input is from InfoWars.
Well, congratulations on getting clean. So that's pretty recent. You said end of January this year, right?
Yeah, January 5th, 2024. Wow. So yeah, been about 4 months, and it's different than any other time I've actually, like, I'm awake to what it is. And I've known God my whole life. I strayed from him, and I've come back. I used to actually make music, but I realized how demonic the music industry is in Hollywood. And that's kind of what was the precursor to me getting to this point, was me realizing what a lie everything was. I mean, all the top rappers, all these people that I used to listen to, I mean, you can name them and I can tell you almost everything about their life.
Right.
And that I can't tell them, I can't tell somebody about, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene's life or Thomas Massey, you know, all these people, Tony Nails, the people that are actually standing for us, I can't say nothing about them yet, which I've been studying and listening. And, you know, even my mother is closed-minded to Trump and to the info war and stuff because of fake news. And she even tries to turn fake news back on me. I understand where she's coming from because she's been fed nothing but lies, but I want to help awaken as many people as I can. And if you don't mind, I actually have been doing street interviews in Columbus, Georgia, and it's at Made This To Hide, Made This To with the number 2 Hide at Rumble and at X. And I'm going around and I'm asking these college age kids, you know, what do you think about this stuff? And they have no idea.
Right.
They have no idea that this world is literally just forcing us to conform to their ideas. You know,
yeah.
Can you give me your
handle again? It's Made This To, what was the last word?
Hide. Hide.
Hide. Made This To Hide. Okay. I would say, you know, don't get too frustrated with not being able to convert, you know, people in your own life. That's, you know, it's nice if you can, but obviously it's more important that you have good relationships with the people in your life. I think music is probably the best thing you could possibly do. I mean, if you make music, that's the beauty of the internet. You don't need the record companies anymore, especially if you're making, you know, music that awakens people. I think that's a fantastic way to go. And I think you're in a better position than most. If you're a felon, then you understand that life. You understand what might get through to other people who were in your same position. So I think, you know, a counseling business or something like that is exactly the right way to go. We'll be back on the other side. Stay with us. We have more phone calls to go to here, more videos to show you, more stories to cover. In the second half of this hour, let's go to Mr. Process in Wisconsin. He wants to talk about the Trump case and Gaza protests. Two big stories today. Go ahead, Mr. Process. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. How you doing today?
Good, thank you.
I wanted to talk about the Trump trial in New York. And, you know, kind of like an idea to, like, use judo on them. And since he has this giant platform and this unprecedented moment in American history when a president is being railroaded due to his heterosexual behaviors,
right,
agreed upon with, like, a porn star. And just a court thing, whatever. It could have been tax evasion, like Capone or whatever. You know, I think he should use the platform he's been given as like a campaign podium and just start campaigning, and he can use it instead of saying witch hunt over and over. He should tell everybody that he was right with the deep state coming after him and the existence of the swamp, you know, and that the swamp needs to be drained, because this is just on its face, prima facie, you know, what's going on. You know, it's like their classic modus operandi, mode of operation, where like they were going after Alex Jones first, like how you guys were talking about, you know, with the lawfare. And now it's kind of just gone to that level where it's like a history setting event. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's doing that to some degree. Obviously they're gagging him for certain things, but you know, you're right. He, you know, what they're gagging him about is talking about the case, so he can be talking about anything else while all this attention is on him. I think obviously it's quite a big ask, because he is trying to save his life from these people. So obviously that's what his attention is on. The ironic thing about this is it's not Trump doesn't even have to make the argument. They're actually making the argument for him. I have this story from New York Times. Campaign puts Trump and spy agencies on a collision course where they're talking about how Donald J. Trump, while he was president and before and after, kept talking about the deep state and how essentially they are out to get him at this point. This is the crazy thing. Trump can say, yeah, there's a deep state and they're out to get me. And the people of the New York Times say, yeah, good. They're like, yeah, the deep state will save us from big, bad Trump. So, you know, it's almost a lose-lose situation because the people that are doing this to him and the people in the media supporting it know fully well that this is the deep state going after a political, you know, dissident. And they're all in favor of that. I mean, this is the craziest thing about it. Say, Mr. Trump is now on a possible collision course with the intelligence community. After he formally accepts the presidential nomination in July, he'll be entitled to receive a briefing from intelligence officials. Should he win the election, he would again command security agencies that he has repeatedly portrayed as his enemy and vowed to demolish. The result is a complicated and possibly destabilizing situation the United States has never seen before. Deep-seated suspicion and disdain on the part of a former and perhaps future president towards the very people he would be relying on for the most sensitive information he would need to perform his role if elected. And they, you know, they frame this as if it's Trump's fault, right? They say even as president, Donald J. Trump flaunted his animosity for intelligence officials, which he definitely didn't, right? As we pointed out here, the first thing he did as president was go to the CIA and give a speech about how he was their president now and he would be working with them and he wasn't their enemy and that they would work together to help America. Like, he tried very hard to extend the olive branch. But by that point, he'd already been spied on by the deep state. They'd already tried to destroy his campaign. They'd already launched Crossfire Hurricane. They were already gearing up for the Mueller investigation. So this is the way it always goes with Trump. Trump doesn't start the fight. He just maybe points out things that bad people are doing. They lash out and go insane and start attacking him relentlessly. And then the media frames it as if the chaos that's been caused by these people is Trump's fault somehow. Trump didn't start any of these fights. Trump didn't start spying on his rival campaigns. Trump didn't go after the deep state before they started going after him. But the way it's interpreted by the media and therefore by the wider American Republic is, man, all of this chaos, it's all Trump's fault. And it's been going on since he really announced he was running for president, but certainly since he became president, that they would cause chaos, they would go completely insane, they would destroy everything, and then somehow they get the people to sit there and blame Trump for their actions, blame Trump for the chaos, despite the fact that it's other people using Trump as an excuse to cause chaos. So it just goes on and on, and the mainstream media is in full support of the deep state going after Trump. They see them as heroes in this regard. It's amazing. They say even as president, Donald J. Trump flaunted his animosity for intelligence officials, portraying them as part of a politicized deep state out to get him. And since he left office, that distrust has grown into outright hostility with potential serious implications for national security should he be elected again. As if it's his fault. If he's elected again, there would be national security concerns. As if it's his fault that the security agencies are prioritizing going after Donald Trump than actually protecting the American people. It reminds me in a sort of tangential way of just the way that anti-Semitism is talked about or anti-Israel sentiment is talked about since October 7th, where they say October 7th happened and then anti-Israel sentiment skyrocketed through the roof. It's like, well, you're missing the part where Israel went on a genocidal campaign of murder and killed tens of thousands of women and children. Did you forget that part? Right? So it's like they forgot to mention the fact that the spy state was spying on Trump. They forgot to put into the article the fact that Trump was exactly right about the deep state, that it is highly politicized, that it is going after him even though he's an innocent person, that it was trying to destroy him while he was president. They were working against him. They helped to orchestrate the impeachments against him. They helped orchestrate the COVID lockdown measures that destroyed the economy that he'd helped to salvage over the 4 years of his presidency. They don't mention any of that. If you leave out the things that they do, then yeah, Trump looks really bad. Just like if you leave out the things that Israel did, Yeah, the rise in anti-Semitism makes no sense at all. So if they, and this is the thing, if they can just conceal the reality of how it got to this point from the American people, then the American people are left with just the response rather than the initial attack to react to. They're mad at Donald Trump for criticizing the deep state, completely ignoring the fact that the deep state is responsible for all these problems in the first place. Citing, and again, this is the New York Times, right? This is like their newspaper of record. Apparently, this is the gray old lady or whatever they call it. They're so patently dishonest. Every sentence in this article is just oozing with rhetorical trickery. Like they say this, citing his belief that his 2016 campaign had been spied on by the intelligence community. That has been proven beyond any doubt. Forget a reasonable doubt. That has been just proven on the face of it. It is absolutely true that his campaign was spied on. Why don't they frame it like that? Why do they have to frame it in citing his belief that his 2016 campaign had been spied upon? It was spied on. I mean, and this might seem like a minor thing, but this is the way rhetoric is used. This is the way that these articles are very intricately designed to leave you with a false impression while technically staying to the facts. It is his belief that his campaign was spied on, but he has that belief because it's absolutely true. And by claiming it's his belief, they undercut and disguise that reality. So Trump can say whatever he wants. As long as the media is still in the hands of these people, the mass of Americans will be befuddled and confused. I want to get to these other callers because they've been holding for a while. We got two Johns and a James, and we'll get to all of you. We'll just go straight out to calls here because I know you guys have been holding, and I appreciate your patience. John in North Carolina wants to talk about his take on the debate. Go ahead, John. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. I just wanted to point out, who would have thought this week we're talking about flat Earth, AI, Tucker Carlson's talking about UAPs, and Candace Owens is red-pilling millions of people on the Dresden firebombing. Who would have ever thought?
What a world. What a strange time to be alive. Yeah, it's very interesting.
But the problem, that's also the problem, though. We're going in so many different directions, and we can't even just unite to stop what's in our face.
Mm.
The printing of money, the economy in shambles, importing millions of migrants across Europe, America, Australia, Canada. Canada isn't even Canadian anymore.
Right.
Like, I don't know how many Canadian callers you get, but that one's a real joke. But one thing I wanted to mention real quick, I know you got other callers, but something that slipped under the headlines this week, 1,000 U.S. troops were pretty much surrounded in the country of Niger, and we are withdrawing as Russian forces move in. And we had some kind of deal with them, and, you know, they export uranium and stuff. We had some kind of deal. They didn't want to go through with it anymore, so we tried our old, like, 30-year-old policy of trying to use fake jihadists to attack them, and it failed miserably. So our empire is collapsing real time. Our dollar is collapsing real time. We're withdrawing from numerous countries overseas and sending all of our stuff to Ukraine and Israel. It's really bizarre, isn't it? But I'll let you move on. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And we could expand on this a little bit, but I do want to get to these other callers. U.S. began talks on withdrawal of troops from Niger. I had heard of that. I hadn't looked into it too deeply yet. I didn't realize about the 1,000 soldiers divvied up between two air bases in Niger, one in the capital and the other a $110 million drone base built in the northern city of Agadez. The two bases are key to U.S. efforts to fighting terrorism in the region, and drone missions from Agadez base target militants in the area. Yeah, it's interesting. Well, we'll have to look into that. But as you point out, it's just in line with the rest of what's happening around the world. America is losing influence, losing security, losing our ability to affect the world. And hey, maybe that's a good thing with the people who are running our country, because it sure as hell ain't us. Thanks so much for the call, John. Now to the next John, this time in Minneapolis, has an idea for saving the country. That'd be nice. Thanks for calling in, John. You're on the air.
Okay, thanks. Okay, common sense versus artificial intelligence. That artificial intelligence is already writing all this propaganda that people are listening to. You know, they frame it a certain way, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, common sense is telling you, look, they're ignoring the law with Trump, and they're going to ignore the votes. They're just going to say Biden won, okay? So here's the plan B. It's very, very simple, which is usually a good sign of a good idea. Snap your ballot. Take a picture of your ballot when you vote. If push comes to shove and we revert to natural law, we're going to need those ballots. If you think about it, how much proof do you need if somebody comes to you with a picture of how they voted? Now, unification, yes, Alex, Musk, Tucker. Can you visualize them standing, you know, in the Capitol? That's what could happen if we unify, all right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, people could email those ballots in, and they're valid proof that we voted for Trump. And we're not gonna put up with any more of the BS. People have to connect the dots, look how they're ignoring the law, look how they did the 2020 election. Look how they did the 2022 election. A little personal story. When I was about 15, I used to sneak into a little dance hall. And this bully would try to beat me up all the time. And finally, one day, I just came up. That time I went in there and I punched him right in the nose. And that's what we're going to have to do with this deep state. We're going to have to stand up. You have to unify, and, you know, with the shirts, Team Humanity, snap your ballot, okay? And we're just going to have to take it over because people will connect the dots. Look how they're ignoring the laws. What do we have as citizens? We have the belief in a fair law and our vote. That's all we have,
right?
Okay? If they're going to ignore the law, and we know they've ignored the vote, two times in a row, now it's time to say, okay, let's use some common sense here. We're going to have a plan B. And that is, I'm serious. I think you should think about it, talk it over, you know, and push that, snap your ballot, and we have to unify underneath Alex and Musk and Tucker, and there's many more. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Thomas Massey. Matt Gaetz.
And really the biggest disappointment in all of it is the way in which Republicans just refuse to acknowledge what's happening. It is so crazy. I have a video here from McConnell talking about blaming Tucker Carlson for people not wanting to fund Ukraine anymore. There's stories of Mike Johnson. He apologized to Joe Biden because Mike Johnson, I guess, rolled his eyes during the State of the Union. He's apologizing to Joe Biden. It's like, We are in a war, and our leadership, the Republican Party, the people actually voted into office, are just siding with the enemy every time. Every time they side with the enemy. So, you know, it's our fault for voting for these people, but they've controlled the system for decades and put their friends in charge and make sure everybody who gets into office is malleable and willing to go along with the plan that they set forward. So, you know, if the Republican leadership could just wake up to the fact that we are at all-out war for our nation against a cabal of psychopaths that are doing everything they can to bring it down, we could easily solve this. But instead, the left is just ravenous, just on this hunt to destroy our country. And the people that we voted into office to protect us are worried about how polite they're being to the pack of wolves that are hunting us down. So, if we had better leadership, that would be one thing. That's our job to get them into office. So I completely agree with you, John. Final call of the day. We'll go to James in California. Thank you so much for holding on, James. You want to talk about that MSNBC clip that we saw? Go ahead. You're on the air.
I wanted to talk about some other things too, but it's just the whole capitalist system is broken, and so it's kind of pushing people into like the other
spectrum of it, which is like Marxism and communism.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think a lot of those people's intentions are actually good because the system is kind of broken. The tech companies are these giant conglomerates of advertising money. And a lot of that, most of that money is being generated through workers and customers. And without that, they wouldn't have billions of dollars. Right. You know, and this isn't just about running ads. You know, it's about, you know, for instance, I'm not against someone like Mr. Beast. I'm not bitter towards someone like him being rich and being a philanthropist. But the only reason he's rich is because Google makes 70% of their wealth from this corporate system, and they're able to distribute wealth to people the way that they want instead of putting it back into the people that make it. So that's why you have the rise of communism, because people see that there's something broken and they want a solution. It's the same mindset, the mind virus, that people, that guy doesn't believe the Earth is really flat. He knows that NASA and our government and all these things are lying to us, and so they're kind of being driven into this like ideology of just, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and also with NASA though, like, okay, so I grew up in like Pasadena, Southern California, the San Gabriel Valley and all that, and we have this place called the Devil's Ridge, and it's where Aleister Crowley and Jack Parsons, the founder of JPL, and L. Ron Hubbard were known to do rituals trying to bring forth the Antichrist. And Jack Parsons, right after doing those rituals, like weeks after doing a major Antichrist ritual, he blew up in a home laboratory experiment, and there's still no like answers to that. And so a lot of that energy is being funneled through to NASA, and I don't know what that means, but it's the reason you're going to have people like totally going against everything they stand for. I don't know what that has to do with NASA, but it's always a weird thing. You know, people in our area, we'd always go to that place, and it was really weird.
Mm.
So.
Well, yeah, it is. Also, it's a spiritual battle, but you definitely hit the nail on the head about communism. I'm sorry, we're coming up to the end of the show here, but thank you so much for calling in. All of our callers, of course, thank you so much for contributing to the conversation. And, of course, you can go to InfoWarsStore.com to really make a difference, keep us on the air and in the fight. Lots of big sales going on right now. BrainForce Plus is on sale, 40% off. Vitamin Mineral Fusion, 40% off. Please keep us on air. Keep us in the fight. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. We really appreciate it when you do that, and we'll be back tomorrow for American Journal once again. Stay tuned. The Alex Jones Show begins in 90 seconds.